The first decade of the 21st century has also seen the geographic relocation of capital appropriation, the rise of the so-called emergent countries, notably the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. This rise of so-called emergent countries is the kind of slow reordering of the hierarchy of the modern world system that has been seen regularly before. However, this presumes that there's room in the system for new productive leading industries, something the generalized profit squeeze seems to counterindicate. Rather, the rise of the BRICS has involved a widening of the numbers of persons involved in partaking of the distribution of world surplus value, raping the planet. This actually reduces, not increases, the possibilities of the endless accumulation of capital and intensifies rather than counteracts the structural crisis of the world system. Furthermore, the austerity measures now so widespread are reducing the consumer base for the exports of the BRICS. And my interjection, it occurs, so let's ponder it, that Wallerstein may serve as a bridge of sorts over our lexicon problem. Perhaps because world systems analysis opens up more of the truth to our scrutiny, not just because its scope is global and takes the long view, but because it recognizes power, as most left scholars fail to do. And this might best be shown with an illustration. The second chapter in this collection of essays is written by Randall Collins, who argues that Marx and Engels' theory of increasing immiseration has vastly superior explanatory power than any other for understanding the current crisis. Precisely because it is a theory, he says, quote unquote, it is a theory of crisis first and foremost. Here's an excerpt from Randall Collins. Technological displacement is the mechanism by which innovations in equipment and organization save labor, thereby enabling fewer employed persons to produce more at lower cost. Marx and Engels argued that capitalists strive to increase profit in competition with each other. Those who fail to do so are driven out of the market. But as labor-saving machinery replaces workers, unemployment grows and consumer demand fails. Technology promises abundance, but the potential product cannot be sold because too few persons have enough income to buy it. Extrapolating this underlying structural tendencies, Marx and Engels predicted the downfall of capitalism and its replacement by socialism. Why has this not happened in the 160 years since the theory was formulated? As is well known, where socialist regimes have come into power, the transition was not driven by capitalist economic crisis, nor indeed when they have fallen out of power. My point here is the absence of definitive capitalist breakdown through technological displacement. Marx and Engels focused on the displacement of working class labor. They didn't foresee the rise of the massive middle class of white-collar employees, of administrative and clerical workers, and educated professionals. But this is why I now argue for the return of technological displacement crisis. Until the 1980s or 1990s, mechanization chiefly displaced manual labor. In the most recent wave of technology, we now have the displacement of administrative labor, the downsizing of the middle class. Information technology is the technology of communications, and it has launched the second great era of contraction of work, the displacement of communicative labor, which is what middle class employees do. Mechanization is now joined by robotization and electronicization, an ugly and ungainly term to add to our vocabulary of ugly terms dictating our long-term future. Speak for yourself, dude. I'm sorry. That was Randall Collins. The end of middle class work. No more escapes. In Does Capitalism Have a Future? So what's wrong with increasing immiseration as an explanatory theory of the current crisis? The theory argues that the terms of private ownership, i.e., the rules of the capitalist game, preclude efficient management of abundance. But the rules, quote unquote, of the totalitarian game don't. You see what I mean. Left pundits are so proud of their mastery of the rules of capital accumulation or the minutiae of a state's legal framework. And power just blows right through them. Because all it cares about is winning. And they believe they've achieved sufficient bias to bend us to it, to the future they want. This is what Rosa Luxemburg was attempting to show. Rules mules. You want more stuff? Rape the earth or beat captives up. It's no different from the ancient world. It's all there in the Iliad. Power is power is power. Recall Miklos's warning to us. The Third Reich operates on the work standard, not the gold standard. For them, the power guys, the philosopher state global statesmen, running the earth is a management question, and they think they can do it more efficiently than we can. This is how they justify their malevolence. Because it is malevolence, no matter what excuse they give for it. They believe there has to be a degraded class to, quote unquote, do the work, even as an intermediary class is allowed greater access to the earth's resources. And this is why our response must be global, if we're not to betray our brothers and sisters. And even as there are mind workers to, quote unquote, to pursue knowledge infinite, the worship of science, as our brother said earlier. They believe they are the ones to do the planning. So again, are we going to let them? Are we going to abdicate our responsibility to reclaim our leadership and to establish global freedom, leisure, happiness?